This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise be unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. I'll be a witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in this waqt of Jumu'ah, to forgive us and have mercy upon us, to guide us, to keep our hearts united, to keep us away from fitna and discord. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant the hujjaj hajj mabrur, hajj maqbool. May Allah keep this hajj safe, let there be no catastrophes or calamities. May all the hujjaj that have left be returned safe, with all their sins forgiven and all their du'as answered. And we send our love, our greetings, our salutations to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to his pious and pure family, to his companions and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. May Allah grant us to be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah. Ameen. Walhamdulillah. Over the last few weeks, alhamdulillah, we've been doing a series on differences of people, you know, differences between people. And we spoke about how husbands and wives and children and brothers and sisters interact and disagree, and how we should fight and why they were fighting. And we were in the middle of a discussion with regards to spouses, why we have such a high divorce rate, why do spouses get divorced in the modern times, and what we can do to limit that. But we'll take a pause this week, and in fact next week inshallah, I'm not here as well. This week inshallah, we will, because of the coming of Eid, and as many of you know, that this Eid will be a slightly controversial. There will be a slight controversy, and that we've all heard about the two Eid issues. We've heard that some will be keeping Eid on Tuesday, and some will be keeping Eid on Wednesday. Have you all heard this? Are you all aware of it? No? Alhamdulillah, if you haven't heard of it, then you're safe. But if you have heard of it, and you are aware of it, then there's this issue that pops up. So today, in the spirit of this discussion of disagreement, this is one of the issues that does cause sometimes some bitterness, can be controversial, can cause animosity on the happiest day of the year. And so we're going to talk about, this is what we've been talking about for the last 2 months, about getting across differences. We've got this issue. How do we move forward together as a community? So that's going to be our topic today, inshallah, the two Eid issues. Not Star Wars, the Moon Wars. Right? And before we get to talking about the Khilaf, let's talk about something which we can all agree on. That we are currently experiencing the holiest days of the year. We know that these days, no act of ibadah is more beloved to Allah in these days than any other time of the year. And whoever does good deeds in these days of Dhul Hijjah, Allah rewards like never ever before. So this is the bonus time to maximize. And we're going to see a miracle occur before us. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when we designated for Ibrahim the site of the house, when Nabi Ibrahim, more than 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, Allah showed Nabi Ibrahim how to rebuild the Kaaba where it should be. And Allah said to Nabi Ibrahim, do not associate, do not make shirk, do not worship anyone with me, worship me alone. And purify my house for those who make tawaf, and those who stand, and those who make ruku and sujood. And call the people to make hajj. Now pause for a second here. 6,000 years ago, when Nabi Ibrahim built the Kaaba, there was not a single person living there. The first people to live there was Hajar and Ismail. Makkah didn't exist in terms of a city. Allah says to Nabi Ibrahim, here in the middle of nowhere, like in the middle of the Sahara desert basically, you built this thing called the Kaaba. It's always been there, you rebuild it. Now call people to come here for Hajj. Ya Allah, who's going to come to this place? Who's going to come to this place? Allah says, you don't worry. You call them. They will come to you on foot and on every lean camel. They will come from every distant pass, every country. They will come from all over the world. You build it, you call them, I promise you they will come. Today we see that miracle. Today we see this miracle coming through. People flocking all over, saving their entire life to come there. And we're going to see this happening, inshallah. It will begin, the Hajj will begin on Sunday. The day of Arafah will be on Monday. And then of course the Eid and the days of Tashriq, they would follow thereafter. So all across the world we see this promise of Allah coming through. Wallahi, that the word of Allah is true. The word of Allah is ever true. No one could have foreseen this. No one could have imagined that this would be the case. Allah says to Ibrahim alayhi salam, you build it, you call them, don't you worry, you do your job, I will do the rest. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in particular, the holiest day of Hajj is the ninth day of Dhul Hijjah, the day of Arafah. the day of Arafah. So just quick summary of what the Hujjaj would be doing. So on Sunday morning, our Hujjaj, they will wake up after Fajr. They will enter the state of Ihram. They will enter the state of Ihram, and then they will head to Mina. And from Dhuhr until Fajr the next morning, they will stay in Mina. There's no Jamarat or anything. They just stay there and make Ibadah. Then they will move on Monday to Arafah. Arafah is this place a few kilometers outside of Makkah, and this is the holiest place, the holiest part of Hajj. In fact, if you go to Arafah now, no one there. You go to Arafah after Arafah, no one there. For 364 days of the year, Arafah has no major significance. One day in the year, it is the place of assembly of Al-Hujjaj. It is where Hajj becomes complete. And the symbolic nature of Arafah, Allah says, don't go to the Kaaba, of course, and the Haram is the holiest place on earth. But the Hujjaj are told to congregate at this plain of Arafah. Why? What's the symbolism of Arafah? It is like Qiyamah. It is like the Day of Judgment. How we will all stand naked on a flat land, all of us together, no one having any difference to the other, and Allah Himself in His Majesty will come to us and judge. May Allah protect us and may Allah help us on that day. That's the symbolism of Arafah. It is like the day of Qiyamah. The Hujjaj, of course, the men are wearing their kafan, what you'll be buried in. That's what he wears. So Arafah is symbolic of this moment, and it's the coming together of the whole ummah at one place, at one time. Cannot have Arafah before, cannot have it after. No other place, you can't have Arafah anywhere else on earth. Must be on that little piece of land. That's where it is. And Allah mentions the virtue of this place and this day. Allah says, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ by the sky containing many, many stars. And by the وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَشْهُودِ the day that is promised. And by the witnessed and the day that witnesses and is witnessed. The day that is promised meaning the day that is Qiyamah, that day is promised. And وَشَاهِدِهُ وَمَشْهُودِ the day that is witness day is the day of Arafah, and the witnessing day is Friday. This is the tafsir of the Prophet ﷺ as mentioned in Tirmidhi. So Allah swears by the day of Qiyamah, and the day of Arafah, and Friday. Allah swears by these three holy days, or these mighty days in the sight of Allah. In Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ tells us, there is no day on which Allah frees more people from the fire of Jahannam than the day of Arafah. And Allah, He comes close to the people of Arafah. So Allah in His Majesty, and we don't ask how, but Allah descends and He comes close to the people of Arafah. On the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, on Monday, those lucky Hujjaj that are there, they will be the closest people to Allah, spiritually and physically. And Allah will say to the angels, Allah will express His pride, will boast to the angels. And Allah will say, on the people of Arafah, look at my servants. Look at them. They've come from all over, disheveled, covered in dust. What are they doing here? Why did they come here? And Allah knows. And Allah will remind the angels, remember when I said I'm going to create Adam, what did you angels say? They will shed blood and they are such evil and they'll be corrupt. I'll say, look at them now. 4 million, 5 million of them, standing there under the hot sun, covered in dust. Doing what? Worshipping me. And Allah will feel a great sense of pride and satisfaction with His creation. May Allah always be like that with us. I mean, may we always please Allah in that regard. So then, and Allah will remain in that state of pride and satisfaction with this ummah, in particular the people of Arafah, until the sun sets and the day of Arafah concludes. And the Prophet ﷺ says, for those of us who are not fortunate enough to be at Arafah, that we can also share in this great ibadah. Because he says, whoever fasts on that day, it expiates for him the sins of 1 year before and the sins of the coming year. So past sins and future sins, you fast that day. So we must, it's a sunnah, yes, but it is such a great sunnah that all of us must strive to fast on the day of Arafah. We have to fast that day to attain 2 years of sin forgiveness. 1 hour of fasting from 6 to 6, right, is like 2 months of your sins being forgiven. Every hour, Allah forgives two months of sins. So, it's an easy ibadah, a great reward. Of course, the Hujjaj will stand on Arafah from Dhuhr until Maghrib. When the sun sets, Arafah is done. And the Hajj, basically, Al-Hajju Arafah, like 50%, 55% of the Hajj is complete. And then they will go to Muzdalifah the evening, they spend the night there. The next morning, they will wake up, which is the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, which is the day of Eid. But if you are Haji, not much of a celebration, it's a very difficult day. On that day you do a number of things. This is just backstory for all of you to know. The Haji will now, after being on Arafah, he spends the night in Muzdalifah on the road. Basically there's no tents, you sleep on the road. Then you wake up Fajr, you go to Mina, you will throw the main Jabarat, your animal will be slaughtered in commemoration of Nabi Ismail. Then you will shave your hair for the men, they will exit your ihram, and then you will go to Makkah to perform a tawaf and a sa'i, and alhamdulillah your hajj is now complete. You'll come back to Mina for the remaining 3 days, or 2 days, and the days of Tashriq. You'll stay on Mina, each day you'll pelt the 3 jamarat, and then your hajj is complete. Right, so that's what's going to be happening in the next week for our hujjaj. The day of Eid, this is also of the most sacred days of the year. Because Allah says, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ. By the dawn, by Fajr, and by the 10 nights, and by the even and the odd days. So, Ibn Abbas, the Sahabi radiallahu anhu, he makes tafsir of this. He says, the even day is the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, the day of Eid, it's number 10. And the odd day is the 9th, meaning Arafah, the day of Arafah. And the Prophet ﷺ says, Allah has given you 2 days better than any other festival. The day of Eid al-Fitr and the day of Eid al-Adha. Right? So these are the days for all of us. And in fact, if we look at the two Eids, we call in Cape Town here Eid al-Fitr, Labarang Haji, and Labarang Ramadan. Right? Which is the two better? Which one is greater? In fact, Eid al-Adha is better, is greater, is more holier, is more symbolic, right? And the Prophet says, the greatest days before Allah is the day of sacrifice, right? The day of Qurban. And the Eid al-Adha, as we said, is greater compared of the two Eids. So, and just on the issue of Qurban, just something to note here, for those who would like to participate, so even though we're not on Hajj, part of the sacrifice, the day of Nahr, is symbolic, of course, of Nabi Ismail. Now look at how the Anbiya are tested. Allah took the thing that Nabi Ibrahim loves the most. Now Nabi Ibrahim was an old man, and his dua was constantly, Ya Allah, give me a son, give me a child that will follow my legacy and teach people about Islam. For years he's making this dua. Finally Allah answers his dua and gives him this boy. Lovely, wonderful boy, the apple of his heart. And Allah says, take him and leave him in the desert. And he obeys. Then Allah says, you can go and visit him. And after they grow up and he builds the Kaaba together, he says, now I want you to sacrifice him. Slaughter him. Who do you love more, me or your son? Of course, as Nabi Ibrahim was very difficult on him, Allah says, he looked away and Nabi Ismail says, do what your Lord has commanded, inshaAllah, I'll be patient, my father. And before he could do it, Allah says, wait, stop. I don't want you to kill your son. And rather sacrifice a sheep or ram instead. The point is, the symbolism here is, Allah says the meat and the blood doesn't reach Allah. Allah doesn't need us to feed him. What reaches Allah is the taqwa. That you say, Ya Allah, you say, Allahu Akbar, Allah, you are the best, you are first, you are the priority in my life. Allah is saying, now show me that your love for me. Give up that which you love for my sake. You love your money, give it up for my sake. You love your time, give that up for my sake. Allah doesn't test us with the things we love. Allah says, at the very least, sacrifice a qurban and feed poor people if you really love me. Right? So the qurban is one of the great acts of ibadah. Allah says in the Quran about the qurban, and for every nation, for every ummah, we have appointed religious ceremonies. We gave them rituals to do. That they may mention the name of Allah over the beast of cattle that they slaughter, that He has given them for food. And your ilah is one ilah. The object of worship is me alone. So you must submit to Him alone. And give glad tidings to the one who are humble, the muhbitun, who are humble. Allah says their meat will not reach Allah, nor will their blood. But what reaches Him is the taqwa from you. So people ask me, is it better for me to slaughter with Burhanul or with this organization or in Syria? Where is the most taqwa? The one that gives up the most taqwa is, and the one that you do, whether it means you slaughter yourself and your family gets together and there's taqwa in that, or you say, you know, I feel sorry for the people in Syria and I slaughter in that, where is the most taqwa? That's which reaches Allah. Allah doesn't look at the kilos of your sheep or the rands you spend. Allah looks in the heart. One man will spend 200 rand on the sheep, for example, very skinny sheep maybe, and his taqwa is so great, you'll get great rewards. Someone else can slaughter an elephant and he will get no reward because it's not done with taqwa. So it's the taqwa, Allah says, that reaches him. Thus have we subjected them to you that you may glorify Allah for that which He has guided you and give glad tidings to the doers of good. Okay? And if you intend to Qurban, there is a fiqh ruling here. If you've made the niyyah to Qurban, from now until the Qurban happens, should not cut your nails and remove any hair from your body. It's makruh. It's makruh. That's all wonderful, beautiful. And the ummah will go through a high of spiritual. You know, when we watch the Hujjaj and we look at Arafah and we should show our kids these things on TV and tell them, you know, and encourage us that one day we'll maybe all be there again, maybe all get to visit, you know, in Hajj or in Umrah in Ramadan. Ameen. And just after we see the beautiful events of Arafah on Monday, and already it's begun, we see the fitna entering the ummah. We see the disagreement and the discussions and the debates. This one and that one. Two Eids. Some will have Eid on Tuesday, the minority, and the majority will have Eid on Wednesday. And for disclosure, this masjid is in the minority as well. This will be a Tuesday Eid program, and we'll give you the details to that. Now for many of our youngsters, and myself included, why do we have this issue of two Eids? Where did it come from? Why are some people so emotional about it? Should we not have one Eid? You know, one person joked about saying, what's wrong with you Muslims? Surely you can just look at the calendar. I can just look at my calendar and see 25th of December, I know when it's Christmas. Why can't you people do the same? You know, maybe if you get a calendar. It's not so simple like that. Understand why we have two Eids. We'll discuss this issue inshallah. Maturely, because we shouldn't be fighting over this Eid. We should not be fighting. We should not be splitting families and communities and the ummah over this. Right. So give us some backstory and context to this. There are two camps. They call the Makkan camp, or the Makkis, and the Moonies. Right? Two camps. Those who say we follow Makkah, and we'll keep Eid on Makkah, they will keep Eid on Tuesday. And we have those who say we are the Moonies, we keep Eid with the moon, and they will be keeping Eid on Wednesday. And as we said, the majority of the moon camp, most of you probably will be having Eid on Wednesday, yes? Most of you, and those who are local here in the masjid, you're probably having on Makkah. So you have a split here in this Jama'ah. So let's explain. Why did this arise? Before I go into the detail, just the summary. The point is, when is the day of Arafah? This is the crux of the debate. When is the day of Arafah? Is Arafah, we know is the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, the 9th. If you look on your calendar, Monday will be the 8th. On our South African calendar, Monday is the 8th. But it's the day that the Hujjaj are on Arafah. Now when we talk about the rewards of Allah coming down and pardoning the sins, and Allah is giving, accepting of your fasting, the people have asked this question. When modern technology popped up, before we had modern technology, we never knew when the people had, the Hujjaj had Arafah. When we were living here, the people of Hujjaj, we only found out after the fact. Now we know, we can watch our Hujjaj on TV. They are standing on Arafah. So the question arose, people asked, Sheikh, should I fast the 9th per my calendar, but no one is on Arafah? Or should I fast with wukuf? Understand the question. Now this is a genuine fiqh anomaly. This is a fiqh anomaly. Because we sighted the moon a day after Makkah sighted the moon. It just happens like that. And it happens like that for Ramadan. We have no problem. But now the issue is, when do I fast, Sheikh? Do I fast with the Hujjaj on the 8th? Or do I stick to my calendar and follow the 9th? And here you have a genuine split between the ulama. A genuine anomaly. There's no clear-cut answer here. And we'll talk about the evidence and the pros and the cons. At the end of the day, you'll realize, I don't know. I just have to follow what I feel is the best. And each one will come to their own conclusion. So Arafah is the real question mark. And then, of course, when is Eid? Is Eid the day after Arafah? Or is Eid the day of the calendar, the 10th? What do I do? So this questions, and it's good to be confused sometimes. It's good to be not to be 100% certain. Because once you're not 100% certain, you respect and say, maybe this other guy who disagrees with me, he's got a point. You know? But when we become 100% certain, I must be right. That's when we become narrow-minded, closed-minded. So let's look at the evidence. For those who are keeping Eid on Wednesday, this is why you keep Eid on Wednesday. This is why you're doing it. And I'm not trying to win anyone over to any side. I'm trying for you to understand your own fiqh ruling and to understand, to respect each other, and how can we move forward, you know, going, you know, to bring to end bitterness. That's the most important thing. So those who are fast, those who are keeping Eid on Wednesday, the argument is such, we Eid is subject to lunar sightings. Allah says so in the Quran. We need to look at the moon like we do for Ramadan, Eid al-Fitr. We look at when the moon is, and that's when we keep Eid. Similarly, we should do the same. Why do we change the rules for this Eid? Allah says in the Quran very clearly, they ask you about the moon. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ They ask you, Allah says, they ask you about the moon. Allah says to the Nabi, say to them, the moon should be used for measuring time and the dates of Hajj. Allah mentions, you use the moon to measure Hajj. Strong evidence for the moon is right. But it's not to say that the people in Makkah don't use the moon. They also cite the moon, and they also have their own lunar calendar, but it differs from our observations. Let's go a step further. The Prophet ﷺ says, we know for Eid al-Fitr, sumu li ru'yatihi, fast when you see the moon. And stop fasting, meaning keep Eid when you see the moon. So the moon is our calendar is based on the moon. And so Makkah must cite the moon, and we must cite the moon. We are all independent. We also see the argument that the moonies make. Who said that Arafah is Eid is the day after Arafah? Who said that? They question. Because is it not true that before Hajj became compulsory, people were already keeping Eid. The Prophet ﷺ already celebrated Eid al-Adha, even though no one was performing Hajj. Understand the argument. The Meccan argument is, we all know when is Wukuf, I can show you on TV when is Wukuf. I can show you when is Arafah. Eid is the day after Arafah. Right, that's the argument. Mooney says, wait. Who says Eid must follow Arafah? Because is it not true that the Prophet them celebrated Eid even before Hajj was made compulsory? Yes. And is it not true that if no one goes to Arafah, there's a year where there's no Hajjis. Are we not going to have Eid? There's no Arafah. Are we not going to have Eid? No, we will still have Eid. So who says you need to link the two? That's the argument. We'll counter these arguments and give. Then they also say, surely we're not the first people on the earth to experience this. What is everyone else doing? So we said before modern technology, you only had one option. You had to be a moon. You had to follow your lunar sighting. You didn't know what was happening in Makkah. And also, many people across the world will follow their lunar sightings. But now you find, like Australia, for example, I saw that they will be keeping Eid with Makkah. Right? And you find different scholars around the world saying we should keep with the moons, keep with. So it's a contemporary mas'ala of now, our time. But the majority, locally, all of Durban, all of Johannesburg, and the vast majority of Cape Town will be keeping Eid on Wednesday. They will follow their lunar sighting, their local lunar sighting. All right? So that's, they're saying, well, this is, there's strength in numbers. The fact that we're the majority gives us some kind of comfort. You understand? So that's their arguments. Also, their argument, this is not in the slides, they would say, if you restrict Arafah just on the 9th when the Hujjaj are standing wukuf, what about those who cannot fast? Meaning, it's nighttime in Australia, it's nighttime in America. How does he fast? So he'll miss wukuf. When it's daytime by him, wukuf is over. So are you saying Allah will only reward the person who fasts while the Hujjaj are standing there? Can't be. So surely, it has nothing to do with standing at Arafah. Rather, you need to follow your own local calendar, your own local sightings. So this is the argument. Do we agree that the proofs are sound, legitimate? It's based on Quran and Sunnah, not Thamsak, not Hawa. Excellent. Now let's hear about the Hujjaj, those who keep Eid rather with Makkah, the Makkis. They argue every time, nowhere in the hadith that it say, Arafah is the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. It says the day of Arafah, and Arafah is a place. So yes, I agree, we cannot make Dhuhr Salah with Makkah. I have to look at my sun here in Cape Town. I cannot fast Ramadan with Makkah, I must look at my sighting here. But the act of Ibadah of Hajj can only be done in one place on earth. It is specific to a time and a place. You cannot determine when is Arafah. Arafah, the place, like the name says, is when the Hujjaj are standing there. And with unanimous consent, the scholars say that even if the Hujjaj made a mistake, and they all stand on the wrong day in Arafah, the day they stood on wukuf is Arafah. Al-Hajj Arafah, meaning the day of the Hujjaj standing at Arafah. So how can South Africa's local timetable be more important than what the Hujjaj are doing in Makkah? And therefore many, and this is in fact the MJC discussed this 30 years ago, they asked for a fatwa from Azhar, and Al-Azhar deemed that the most appropriate thing to do would be to fast with the Hujjaj at Wukuf. Also, leaving the entire world aside, South Africa, in terms of time frame, we're only only an hour different. So we will be in line with Wukuf. So this is their argument, that Wukuf has to be with the Hujjaj, especially if you're able to do so, and therefore your local sighting does not come into play. So fast on Monday. You understand this point? And then they would say, of course, the next natural thing is, well, Eid is not something that began now. Eid goes back to Nabi Ibrahim. It's about sacrificing Nabi Ismail. And it's part of the rituals of Hajj. This Eid al-Adha is attached to this Ibadah. Like Eid al-Fitr is attached to Ramadan. That it is out of Allah's rahmah and mercy and forgiveness that we make takbir. Why do you make takbir? So Allah says in the Quran, and when you have completed your rites of Hajj, then remember Allah like you remember your forefathers or even with greater remembrance. So Allah has attached Eid al-Adha to Hajj. In this ayah in the Quran, Surah Baqarah, ayah 200, Allah has attached. When you're done with Hajj, then celebrate Eid. So you understand, it's not that they said, like some have said, Eid and Hajj, you should separate the two. Hajj, Arafah and Eid must be separate. Allah is bringing them together. When you're done with Hajj, then keep Eid. And we know Hajj is complete when you basically perform Arafah. So nonetheless, when we look at these issues, it's very clear that both sides have a genuine, legitimate fiqh argument. And this is a beautiful thing. The Sharia allows us to have multiple answers. It's not just one answer for all. So from this, if you ask, Sheikh, what is the right answer? If I fast on Monday with wukuf, is it wrong? No, it's correct. If I keep Eid on Tuesday, is it wrong? No, it's correct. If I fast on Tuesday because I want to follow my calendar, I believe that's more correct. Is it wrong? No, that's correct. If I keep Eid on Wednesday, is it wrong? No, it's correct. Allah has allowed multiple. That's why we have four madhabs. We don't say the Hanafis are wrong and the Shafis are wrong. No, everyone is correct. And this is Allah's mercy on the ummah. Allah has allowed us multiple alternatives. Whichever day you keep is fine. Your ibadah is accepted whichever day you keep. Allah will never ever shortchange you in terms of rewards. It is the taqwa that counts. So this is never not a fiqh issue. It's a non-issue. And the strongest opinion really, and if you really want to ask, well, what is the strongest opinion of the two? The strongest opinion is, and I give the example of Eid al-Fitr. Muhammad is fasting, he begins Ramadan fasting with the moon in Cape Town. Okay? China began fasting a day before. They looked at the moon and they started a day before. Yes? So China is one day earlier than Cape Town. You all with me? So when Muhammad has fasted 5 days, how many days have they fasted in China? 6 days. Now Muhammad goes to China to visit. He gets there on the 28th day. He fasted 28 days. How many days did they fast in China? 29 days. Now they see the moon. It's Eid for them. Right? 29 days, it's Eid. How many days did Muhammad fast? 28. When does he keep Eid? Does he fast on that day? Or does he wait for Cape Town? Or does he keep Eid with the people of China? He keeps Eid with the people of China and he fasts the day after. This is unanimous consent. Our sisters who are in the Hayd or the person who is sick, he only fasted 20 days, he has 10 days qada. We don't say, first finish your qada, then you keep Eid. You're not allowed to come here, this is our Eid. Right? The community has one Eid. This is the principle in the Sharia. The essence of it. It's not about date and time and place. It's not about the clothes you wear or the food that you eat or the khutbah we give. It is about the community coming together. Why the Prophet ﷺ called the women, even the sisters come out. Why he left Masjid al-Nabawi. He said the Masjid is too small. The Masjid is the holiest place in Medina. No, we'll go make Eid Salah outside. Why? So we can all be doing it together. This is the essence of Eid. This is the purpose of Eid. This is why we keep Eid. To be united. And if we're not united, and unfortunately that's the case, we can't fix it, at the very least we shouldn't be fighting over it. You can have the correct mas'ala, the correct view, but you miss the purpose of Eid completely. Because you insulted this one, you call this one a name, and you call that. Yes, so you got the fiqh right, but you miss the essence completely. Allah says to the Haji, there is no rafatha wala fusuka wala jidala fil hajj. There is no arguing on hajj. You get to hajj, in Ihram, mashallah, you're on Arafah, but you swing this one and swing that one, so where's your Hajj? You got the fiqh right, but the taqwa of it is missing. You shouldn't do the same for Eid. So to conclude, I want all of you, this purpose of this khutbah is to understand that it's a genuine fiqh mas'ala, it's a genuine fiqh ikhtilaf that cannot be resolved. There's two answers. And there are many things like this in the Sharia. Many things where you can choose as you want. And both sides have strong and acceptable views. There's no right and wrong here. It's correct and correct. Also, of all the Eids, this one has 3 days of Tashriq, meaning it's 4 days you can keep Eid. You keep Eid and 3 days of Tashriq. So Allah has given us leeway for multiple days. eat on fast, and I put this point here, ultimately remember, brothers, if the person doesn't fast in Arafah, and he doesn't come for Eid Salah, is he sinful? Allah going to punish him for that? No. So, but then, what's more important is unity is wajib. So the person who comes for Eid Salah, and he fasts on Arafah, but he breaks the community in half, and he causes animosity. He's done something haram for something which is sunnah. Whereas the one who says, I keep the unity, but I don't fast, and there's no sin on him. That man is better. So my advice and my concluding remarks on this. This is not a debate between right and wrong, or truth and falsehood. It's between two groups of people who love Allah, who want to worship Allah, who want to commemorate Allah and make takbir of Allah and slaughter for Allah. Don't curse either side. These are pious people on both sides. Don't harm one another on the day of Eid. Insult, name-calling. Go and give salamat to everyone. Even if you disagree, phone that person and give salamat on his day. Give him salamat. You know, visit them on their day. Visit them on their day. Especially if they're family members. Don't ever judge the niyyah. And what I'm seeing now, people are messaging me and saying, but Sheikh, look at this fatwa that this one gives. There's a tennis match, you know. Everyone has the evidence back and forth. It's got nothing to do anymore with dalil and hadith. No one is debating this to make Allah's word high. It's for me to win my debate, for my word to be high, for my opinion to be high. Don't judge the niyas of each other. Don't say, these Makkan people just want to make khilaf. And these Moonies are backwards, man. They must still be educated. No. They don't love Makkah. They don't want to keep unity with the Ummah. No. This is a genuine fiqh mas'ala that the people look at the evidence and they're following what they believe is to be correct. Say, mashallah, brother, I disagree with you, but I know your niyyah isn't sincere. In fact, your niyyah might be more sincere than mine. Even though you got it wrong, his niyyah might be more sincere than yours. So never judge the niyyah and insult somebody. As we said, whichever day you fast or pray, the taqwa is what counts and Allah rewards based on the taqwa. So what's the way forward for us as a community? What do we do? For you sitting here and for me, we've educated ourselves. We understand now why there's the split. And no one is to be blamed for this. We should strive for unity. We should work that one day, inshallah, we'll have one Eid. And if that can happen, alhamdulillah. And we can have one Eid locally, nationally, globally, the ummah, alhamdulillah. This will be the best symbolism for all of us. This issue is not only a fiqh issue, there's a people issue. There's been a lot of fighting and arguing over the years, and it's caused some emotion. It's an emotional issue. I know I'm just 2-3 minutes and then we'll conclude. When couples come to me and they argue about, Sheikh, who must make the tea? Sheikh, there's nowhere in the Quran that says I must make him tea. There's no hadith like that. But Sheikh, doesn't Allah say she must obey me? Yes, that's true. But Sheikh, doesn't Allah also say that you must treat me kindly? You both, it's got nothing. No one wants to follow the Sharia here. No one is fighting for Sharia. You're fighting for your view to be, and you want me to be a referee. Same issue here. Don't throw the Sharia like a soccer ball kicking back and forth. If you search yourself, are you willing? What Allah would love the most is for us to bring the ummah together. Even if it means I sacrifice my own view. I keep quiet on my view. Let's all be together. That would make Allah happy. Now if you really want to please Allah, then understand that this is a people issue and we should put our personal emotions aside and do what is best for the community. This can't happen today, tomorrow, this Eid. It will take time. But before we can get there, at the very least, if we can't have one united Eid, let's have respect for two Eids then. At the very least, we should respect both groups. At the very least, we should say, MashaAllah, they qurbaned, they fasted with Makkah, MashaAllah. MashaAllah, they're keeping together, they're following the moon, they're following the Quran, both is following Quran and Sunnah. MashaAllah, give the good points to each other. So at least respect one another and celebrate together. And if you find yourself, so you maybe can't fix the ulama, you can't fix the whole world, but you can fix your family. As a family, my advice to you, keep Eid together, sit down together. If you have a split family, try to have one Eid within your immediate household. All of you should get together, and this is what will please Allah the most. And if you really can't come together, maybe the wife's family keeps one day, husband's family keeps the other day, then keep both days. I'm in the same camp like that. At the masjid here, the murids of this masjid have taken a decision to keep Eid on Makkah, and we respect that. We're not going to fight and argue. This is their decision. We are a jama'ah. So we keep Eid on Tuesday. My whole family, wife and my family side and my wife's side, is going to keep Eid on Wednesday. So alhamdulillah, I have 2 days of Eid. I have 2 days. That's when I'm going to keep Eid. If you ask me, when you keep Eid, I say, what do you mean? When am I going to have Eid Salah or when I'm going to have Eid lunch? Right? Because they might not be on the same day. Right? So That's fine. And that's fine, Jamaatul Muslimin. And that's beautiful. My last remark is this hadith. When you want to get in the debate, remember this. The Prophet says to you, should I not tell you what is better than fasting, sunnah fasting, even Arafah fasting? Than making sunnah salah, even tahajjud? Than giving charity, even qurbaning? What is better than all of that? The one who reconciles between people when there's disagreements. For the evil of discord is the one that shaves and tears the ummah apart. The best person of all is not when he fasts, or when he qurbans, or how much he gives, but how many people he makes smile, how many bonds he keeps. He's number one. So strive to be like that. May Allah grant all of us to be like that. Ameen. Any questions? So I say Eid Mubarak to all of you. Whenever you keep Eid for myself in the masjid, by Islamat, for La Barang Haji, right? Right? And as we said, wukuf, our hujjaj will be on Monday on Arafah. We make dua that Allah accepts from them and that they keep us in their duas. Our Eid program, as we said, will be on Tuesday. You're welcome to attend on Tuesday and Wednesday if you'd like. But on Tuesday, it will start at 8 o'clock is our Eid Salah. No, we've changed the timetable. 8 o'clock is going to be our Eid Salah. Takbir is 7:30. So with takbir will start 7:30. 8 o'clock is Eid Salah. Okay, 8 o'clock is Eid Salah. Then 8:10 is going to be the khutbah, Arabic, and then the English will happen afterwards at half. But it will end, inshallah, by 8:30. Special announcement, of course, today. For 50 Rand only, we are selling the Kaifi, and this which featured Al-Marhum Mawlana Ihsan Hendricks. May Allah grant him a high place in Jannah. May Allah accept from him the sacrifice he has done for the Ummah. A man, it's a beautiful thing to say when someone has passed away that his passion, what did he love the most? Passion for Palestine, for equality, for humanity. That's a lovely thing to say. That's what a man, everyone knows that's what he stood for. So may Allah count that heavily in his scales and make his qabr a garden of the gardens of Jannah. So you can purchase the kaifi. He was our feature for that month, of that year. And then next week I said I will not be, unfortunately, but we'll continue with our etiquette of disagreement. We'll also continuing our women around the messenger, alhamdulillah, our lovely responses. So if you'd like to be part of that, please give us your WhatsApp number. And then our qurban, if you'd like to qurban with us and join us on Tuesday with the Qurban program, you can speak to Puta Talib, inshallah. Tuesday and Wednesday, he's reminding me. So if you want your sheep slaughtered on Wednesday, it's fine. We'll keep him until Wednesday. He'll give an extra life. His ajal is only will be on Wednesday. So inshallah, you can let us know and you can join us, alhamdulillah. And I mean, when's the sheep? The sheep there already? Not yet, but when the sheep comes, you can bring the kids as well to see the animals. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.